Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Senator Josh Hawley joins us, and also the latest out of Maricopa County, the unacceptable nature of our elections in Arizona. It's a joke. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by typing in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider and hitting subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. You can email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Text these episodes to your friends and get other people to subscribe to them. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. If we do not have elections we can trust, then we live in a banana republic. One of the characteristics that was well known in the Soviet Union was that it took them many days and weeks to count the ballots. They wanted to make sure the outcome of their, quote, fake elections, they didn't even have elections, they were a joke, would be in their favor. Elections need to be transparent, simple, and quick to tabulate. If we believe that elections are the transfer of power, if said differently, elections are the way we, the sovereign, give permission to our leaders to act and to operate. It is an act of transfer of sovereignty, temporarily outsourcing responsibility to an elected official. If there is murkiness, if there is muddiness, if there is uneasiness about how that election is conducted, then people will not trust those in charge. What's happening in Arizona is an abject disgrace to the modern world. And this is not the first time this has happened. This is the fourth election cycle this has happened in Arizona. And every time we try to challenge the people in Arizona to fix this, Stephen Richer, the state house, the state senate, we get condescendingly talked to as if, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. We're not going to put up with this anymore. We are now 36 hours plus of polls closing. We are now in the 38th hour, and there are still 125,000 to 175,000 ballots still outstanding in Maricopa County. I believe one of the reasons is because the establishment in Arizona wants to try to rob every day they can from Carrie Lake to give her the victory speech, transfer her entire operation to a general election. Now, we are about 93, 92 days away from the midterm elections. You want to hear something even crazier? We are 60 days away from early voting. 60 days away. In a governor's race that could be anywhere between a $75 to $100 million governor's race, or a Senate race that will be $150 to $175 million, every day literally costs you millions of dollars. And so if you are delaying this unnecessarily, of which there is no excuse whatsoever, what the Maricopa County supervisors and Stephen Richer and all these people in Maricopa County are doing, you are literally able to give an in-kind donation to Katie Hobbs. There's something so fundamentally wrong with someone who is running for governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, who also is tasked with overseeing the elections. Katie Hobbs is the Secretary of State in Arizona. They counted her ballots just fine. I mean, they got them all processed. She's the winner. Okay, she beat someone by 50 points. It wasn't close. They didn't need to count all of them to know that. But how is it, in what universe is it okay that the Secretary of State of a state is allowed, without having to recuse herself or having to mention conflict of interest, to oversee the election of her potential opponent and then participate in the administration of the election against another opponent when she wants to be governor of the state of Arizona? I know a lot of people right now are on edge and nervous. There's two things I'm going to differentiate. The outrage, the anger, that I have towards the Maricopa County supervisors and Stephen Richer. But I also want to keep you at ease and lean on me and our show and our data programming that we've done. We stayed up very late last night because we believe that our models and our projections will remain. There's one reason why I think they're a little bit surprised. If they would have listened to us, they shouldn't have been surprised. It's because there was such an overwhelming amount of people that showed up on election day with their ballot. Those get separated into a different category, but those are the Trumpiest ballots of all. Those are your 2,000 meal people. In fact, in some precincts, they had 1,000 people come vote in person and 3,000 to 4,000 people show up with their ballot day of. Now, if the Maricopa County supervisors, otherwise known as the Nicaraguan Division of Elections, would have listened to us, all of this could have been fixed. Arizona has this incredibly backwards, twisted, unacceptably complex way of counting ballots. The way you should conduct elections in America is precinct by precinct. Every precinct tabulates their votes. They send them in to the local county, and the county announces them. I grew up in America, and so did you, where we could have election results a couple hours after polls close. Now we have to wait days. Now, even if there's no shenanigans and there's no ballots being cast aside and every signature is being perfectly vindicated and verified, it certainly doesn't help, does it? It doesn't help the amount of trust we have in the system. I lose trust, and you should too. These are the very same institutions that lied to us about COVID, lied to us about all of the experimental gene therapies. All these institutions, and they're so smug and arrogant. When you call up the Maricopa County supervisor, of which, if you are in Arizona right now, you should be flooding the phone lines of the Maricopa County supervisors. They're very polite when you call, by the way, but you should say, on what planet is this acceptable? You work for us. It takes days to count these ballots. And so this is actually, people, you know, the media says, well, you know, Charlie, you're trying to sow distrust in the election system. No, they're doing a fine job of that themselves. Why does it take so long? Why can't you hire the people to do it? Figure it out. So then there's this Republican who is lauded by the entire media establishment, the guy named Stephen Richer. He's very similar to Adam Kinzinger and Peter Meyer. He's a very weak person, very dangerous. He runs the Maricopa County Supervisors. I think he's the, what's his exact title? He's the Maricopa County Administrator of Elections or something like that. And by the way, we're going to get rid of him in 2024. I believe he's up. Look how smug he was. This is who's running your elections. Some of you are saying, Charlie, why do you focus so much on Arizona? Not a lot of you, but some of you. I'm going to reiterate this. Remember how much we used to focus on Florida in the Gore v. Bush election? Remember when we focused on Ohio in Gore v. Kerry? As Arizona goes, the entire nation goes. Arizona is now the battleground, period. If you care about America, the entire nation comes down to Arizona. It never used to be that way. Weak Republicans made it this way in Arizona. Treacherous Republicans made it this way. Out-of-state people moved into the state and changed it. Lack of leadership, people like Jeff Flake, all the way on down. And now we have this purple state that we have to try to win back that used to be a beacon of freedom around the country. Look, from cringing at the pump to getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting people hard. And I know it really hurts. That's why I and our team, we use Upside. Upside is an incredible application for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or eats out. With every purchase, I'm using cashback thanks to Upside. Our team used Upside all throughout the Turning Point USA Student Action Summit for running errands or getting gas. And it might feel like it's too good to be true, but you earn points and you are able to get more money that way. To get started, download the free Upside app. Use promo code CharlieKirk, that's promo code CharlieKirk, and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside, check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit or debit card, and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app and use promo code CharlieKirk to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code CharlieKirk. I should have said earlier in the program, we do not transfer our sovereignty. We assign stewardship to our elected representatives. We got an email from Melody correcting me on that. I wasn't as precise in my language as I should have been. It's actually a very important distinction. So you have this guy running Maricopa County, the elections, who is an aspirational Democrat masquerading as a Republican. His name is Stephen Richer. And he gets completely celebrated by national media. So does Katie Hobbs, who's running for governor as Secretary of State. Stephen Richer is the Maricopa County Recorder. That's his official title, Maricopa County Recorder. Listen to this piece of tape here back in 2020, how he reacted to the 2020 election. And then he invokes Mark Fincham, who, interestingly enough, is now going to be running for Secretary of State in Arizona. Play cut 47.
Mark Fincham is running for Secretary of State. Process that. If the election was completely fraudulent, as he says, why would you run for Secretary? What, do you think Dominion is going to rig it in your favor this time? Do you think that fraud doesn't apply to the Secretary of State's race? Do you think that things have materially changed since 2020 because Michelle Ugenti-Reda passed one pebble bill? Why are you running if you do not believe in these elections? I would suggest that his actions speak a lot louder than his words. Thanks.
This guy's a total freak. And why is he running? It's because you do the courageous and the moral thing. Even though you know there might be problems, maybe you can overwhelm the system, Stephen Richer. Last time in 2020, the election was decided by 10,000 votes. And based on revelations in 2000 Mules, you allowed and enabled the ballot trafficking operation all across Maricopa. Happened in other parts of the state as well, in Yuma County in particular. Completely and totally unhinged. So this guy's the Maricopa County Recorder. He's in charge of how your elections are conducted. You see, the left, they are so sneaky. They put these people in offices that we don't always care about. You see, we care about senators and congressmen and governors. They care about attorney general's offices, secretary of states, and recorder's offices. That's what they care about. Ricky said, Maricopa is a national embarrassment. The same people who stole the election, President Trump, are still in office, so it should be no surprise that Maricopa County is doing it again. We cannot accept anything less. And so this is going to be it. By the way, we're going to get the phone number for the Maricopa County Recorder's Office. You should just ask respectfully and politely, why is it that in the third world, they get their elections results quicker than in Arizona? Every other state can get their election results together. You see, when you have elections that go over a longer period of time, it expands the opportunity for people to be able to play games with ballots, to be able to have shenanigans. When you have a shorter period of time, it lessens the opportunity for bad actors to be able to go into vote processing centers and to be able to do, unfortunately, what we know happens far too often in our elections. Now, thankfully, there's been this massive, overwhelming MAGA turnout that I personally believe will be impossible to play games with. But every day they're delaying, they're trying to make it seem as if this race is a lot closer than it actually is. This is something that's happened now all across the country, and Arizona is ground zero for that. And they're saying, well, the race is too close to call. It really isn't too close to call. When you see the final results, when these 125,000 ballots in Maricopa County are counted, when these other counties fully report, I actually think it's not going to be too close to call. I think it could be a 30, 40, 50,000 vote victory. They want you to think it's too close to call, because what you're going to see in Arizona is the same thing you're going to happen otherwise. You're going to see moderate Republicans come out and say, we can't support Kari Lake. We can't support Blake Masters. They're too radical. They're going to have Republicans for Katie Hobbs. And I guarantee you, on Monday, Arizona Republic and all these other newspapers are going to come out with fake suppression polls showing Kari Lake down 10 points to Katie Hobbs, of which no one can answer the question, why is it that Katie Hobbs is allowed to run for governor and also oversee her own election running for governor? Why is that legal? That would be the equivalent of Michael Jordan trying to compete in an NBA final game and also be the referee. Why are we putting up with that? Right now, Bank of America has just lowered its 2022 forecast for the S&P 500 by a whopping 900 points to 3,600. Saying we're headed for a recession this year, it said the new year target is the lowest on the street. This is not good news for those of you stuck in equities or anything tied to stock markets. I know thousands of people who have put their trust in Noble Gold to prevent losing money in the financial storm that is brewing. You can join them by calling their expert team. Noble Gold has recently voted the number one gold company in the country by Consumer Affairs. No call centers, no scripted response, no bull, just a straight, honest run through options so you can decide. And by the way, they're giving away a beautiful 1/10 of an ounce gold American Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover this month. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. There are very few people in Washington, D.C., of which I will give praise to. But this senator has just been phenomenal at every single fight, every corner, every turn. He just did a very courageous vote. He was the only senator to vote against NATO expansion. But I don't want to start with that. I first want to welcome Senator Hawley. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Charlie.
So I want to start with this tape of you with FBI Director Christopher Wray, where you ask him, why is the Federal Bureau of Investigation asking for concealed carry information? This one stuck out to me. I want to lead with this. Let's play cut 53 and then explain it to our audience, please. Play cut 53.
What the sheriffs of Missouri say in 2018 is that the FBI did not request concealed carry records. You are requesting it this year. In the state of Missouri, only the sheriffs have these concealed carry records because Missouri law explicitly forbids concealed carry permit information to be turned over to state officials or to federal officials. I just want to understand why it is the FBI is now seeking from our sheriffs, and we're talking about multiple sheriffs who have commented, who have contacted me, who have contacted other state officials, who have spoken to the press, saying that the FBI is now asking for the names of concealed carry permit holders in the state of Missouri. Why is that? If you've not done it before, I don't understand.
Well, again, I'm going to have to look deeper into to give you a more fulsome answer to your question.
Yeah, look deeper into it. Senator, your thoughts?
Well, that just means that he doesn't want to explain. He doesn't want to be on the hook. The truth is, Charlie, what it looks like to me is retaliation. Right now, the Biden administration is suing the state of Missouri over Second Amendment protections. And then all of a sudden, at about the same time, the FBI comes into Missouri and says to the sheriffs, hey, give us the list of all your concealed carry permit holders. I mean, maybe that's coincidence. I kind of doubt it. The fact that Wray wouldn't answer any questions about it. But yet, you know, when I press him on it, Charlie, then he said, well, I mean, maybe here's why we're doing it. So he knows more than he's letting on. He just doesn't want to say. But either way, it's a huge invasion of privacy. And it's exactly what gun owners fear, you know, is that your records are going to get turned over, going to get used in some federal database. We have no idea what the federal government would do with these names once it got them. And frankly, I don't trust the federal government at all to keep any of this stuff private.
Yeah, and just the smugness of how they answer these questions, Senator, the way we do congressional oversight is maddening for regular everyday citizens. And you guys are doing the best you can, but it's just this kind of nonstop theatrical campaign where they have many weeks to prepare, and then they have all the synonyms of non-answers. I'll have to circle back or whatever they say. And then maybe a couple years later, we might find out once it's out of the news cycle. Do you have any thoughts on that? It seems as if it's harder than ever to do congressional oversight of these unelected administrative agencies.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And, you know, just take today, for example, Wray hasn't been up in front of the Senate, in front of this committee in over a year now. Hasn't answered questions. Think about that. Under oath in over a year. And get this, What he then was saying today, though, was that he has a hard stop. That was what he said. I've got a hard stop. I got to go in just a few minutes. I'm like, wait a minute. This is your job. I mean, you're here under oath in front of cameras to answer questions for the American people, and you've got something else to do? I mean, what would that be exactly? And the Democrats are fine with it. You know, they just, oh, sure, whatever you want, because they want the bureaucracy to run this government. Yes. That's the secret here. The liberals don't want the American people to run the government. They don't want their elected officials to run the government. They want the deep state to run the government. They're fine with it. And it's a huge problem. We have got to change it.
I remember a time when Democrats used to be really concerned about civil liberties and they thought the FBI was too powerful and too strong. Now many Democrats look at them as their kind of Democrat police force. I hate to be that blunt, but they are able to deploy them against political enemies and opposition. I want to go to this other story here, Senator, that you guys have a press release on. Senator Hawley and Senator Johnson exposed new whistleblower allegations about Biden's failure to vet Afghan evacuees. Tell us about this.
Well, what we've had is a whistleblower, patriotic whistleblower, who has come forward to say there are hundreds, like over 300 Afghan refugees brought to this country who had information in the watch list, who were on the terrorist watch list. Jeez. And yet got into this country anyway. And for all we now know, are now out in the country in the interior somewhere. So previously, we thought the number was about 50. What this whistleblower says is, no, it's over 300. So I asked Ray about this because the FBI is supposed to be tracking these people. He said he didn't know anything about it. Oh, well, I don't know. Well, I'll have to get back to you. I mean, it just shows
he's
you.
He's got a hard stop. What, right.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have time for this stuff. So it just shows you that it is total shambles over there, this administration. But also, they don't care about the security of the American people. Mm-hmm. The other thing that this whistleblower exposed is that DHS employees have been authorized to start deleting data, biometric data about from this terrorist database, start deleting it in what looks like a cover up. So, I mean, this is big stuff. And obviously, we're going to try to get answers here. Senator Ron Johnson and I have sent a letter today to the inspector general over at DOD to say, you need to open an investigation of this. We should do hearings on this. But it goes back to your point, Charlie. Democrats don't want to do any hearings on anything. They don't want to ask any questions. It's see no evil, hear no evil. You know, let's just all pretend that none of this is happening. Look over here. Let's talk about climate change. I mean, that is what their agenda is. And it's pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, just of all the threats to our liberties, an unaccountable police force that does whatever they want, that targets moms and dads that go to school board meetings, but not foreign nationals from a country of terrorism, Afghanistan, that could just be in our midst. And that's not the only, you know, whistleblower that we have on this. I know Chuck Grassley has some other stuff that's potentially coming out as well on this, but it just seems as if the FBI, the way that they answer your questions or don't answer them, there is an attitude of, I am the supreme branch of government, right? That you guys are kind of a waste of time in the legislative. And it's just, it's so constitutionally wrong, because we're supposed to have these separate branches and checks and balances on them. So, Senator, I want to ask you about the NATO expansion vote. First, I want to thank you for your vote. You're the only senator to vote against expanding NATO. Tell us why.
Well, because it doesn't make the United States stronger, it doesn't make us safer. It's pretty simple, Charlie. I mean, that ought to be what we're asking, I thought, in our questions about American foreign policy. Is it good for the United States and does it make us stronger? Mm-hmm. And if the answer to that is no, then why would we do it? Expanding NATO, here's what will it amount to. It will amount to us spending more money in Europe,
yes,
sending more troops to Europe, making more commitments in Europe. And my view is, with the issues that we've got now at home, and overseas with China, I mean, this is not the time to be doing more in Europe. In fact, we ought to be doing less. The Europeans ought to be doing more. And we should go in the opposite direction and be saying to the Europeans, listen, you really need to take first responsibility for your own continent. And you need to quit freeloading on the United States.
That's right.
So that ought to be the message that we send. But we're sending the opposite message. I mean, this administration has surged tens of thousands of new troops into Europe, made huge spending commitments to Ukraine. We've talked about that. That money just goes on and on and on. And I'm telling you, when China invades Taiwan, and when they start dictating our terms of trade, and when they won't give us market access, and when they start ripping us off even more than they are now, we're going to wonder, how did it get to this point? And we'll look back and say, because of decisions like this one.
That's an interesting way to phrase it. You said, when China invades Taiwan. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, I think they want to. I mean, it is an open secret. It's no secret at all. China wants to invade Taiwan. They think that Taiwan belongs to them. And I think the question Americans should ask is, okay, well, why do we care? Well, here's why we care. Because what China wants to do is, they want to dictate to us how we can trade and where. They want to dictate to us where we can manufacture and where we can't. They want to dictate to us the kind of economy we can have. And their pathway to doing that is to control the entire Pacific, and after that, to control the world. And so the Taiwan thing is a stepping stone for them, but it's key. And I'm just telling you, Charlie, we've got to be honest with the American people. We are not in position right now to stop China. We're not.
Yeah,
and if China tried to invade Taiwan, we couldn't stop it, I don't think.
The entire strategy should have been keeping our powder dry for a potential Taiwanese invasion, of
That's
which
right.
this entire Ukrainian proxy war conflict, it's actually made Russia wealthier and stronger. And one of the arguments against NATO expansion, which again, no one in the Senate understands, quite honestly, except you, is that this actually strengthens Putin domestically. If you talk to anyone, yeah, please, your thoughts, Senator.
No, yeah, I mean, you're right about this. And here's the other thing, though. It's, here's my nightmare, Charlie, is that as we get more and more tied down in Europe, you look at China, you look at the Communist
yes,
Party there,
exactly.
and they say, oh, great, the United States is doing more in Europe. Let's invade Taiwan now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this is why we can't fight two simultaneous wars mm-hmm. against Russia and China under the best of circumstances. And we can't afford to have China running rampant in the Pacific
no.
and again, kicking us out and controlling our trade, controlling our economy, controlling our jobs. And that is what is going to happen. So I just think that the hour is really late right now in Asia. It's really late with regard to what China is trying to do in their imperialism. And we are not in a position to stop it. And it's because we have been tied down in Europe and tied down on the Middle East and not focusing where we should.
And so what is going to happen now domestically in Russia is Putin will, through all of his propaganda channels, he'll say, see, the West is continuing their invasion closer to our border, right? And now, but this is what I don't understand, Senator, is that for the longest period of time, everyone says, well, we can't allow Putin to take over Ukraine because it's now going to border a NATO country. And that was like the big talking point, even though it's not true because there's Kaliningrad Oblast, but whatever. But Finland borders Russia. And so, and by the way, there is a lot of kind of overlapping culture and language with Finland and Russia. So just to make sure everyone that understands this at home, only Senator Hawley thinks that it's insane that American men and women should be drafted into a military because of a proxy war that might happen in the Finnish-Russian border. How is that the concern of the United States? While we have so many problems domestically, just really quick, Senator, isn't that the moment where we should prioritize our own needs, not potential border disputes amongst warring nations in Europe?
Absolutely. Listen, American foreign policy should always be about prioritizing American needs and American security.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is. And I think the fact that we even have to have this conversation shows you just how out of touch people in Washington, D.C. have become on both sides of the aisle. They have completely lost the focus on American security, American yes. workers, American prosperity. And it's become all of this gauzy nation building, new world order,
yes.
liberal international
exactly
system
right.
stuff. And, you know, we need to refocus and say, hold on. What is in the interests of the American people and American security?
That's the most operative question. 95-1, there was one no on NATO expansion. And again, NATO is a failed project in the modern era because what it subsidizes socialism domestically in Europe so they don't have to draft their own military. It outsources, you know, Europe's own responsibility to America, and then it could potentially get us involved in something we are not prepared in that is not in our national security interest, while what's happening in Asia, I totally agree, that should be the focus. We cannot take our eye off the ball of what's happening with the Chinese Communist Party. Senator, we have an invasion on our southern border. I just help explain to our audience, why is it that most people in D.C. spend more time talking about foreign borders than our own border?
You know, I don't know. I don't really get it. I mean, I guess it's just at the end of the day that they don't understand what it means to have our borders completely overrun, what it means to have the cartels control the border. Because, by the way, that's what's happening here. It's actually not quite true. I sometimes say, oh, it's total chaos on the border. Yes and no. The cartels are in charge. I mean, somebody's in charge down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the U.S. government. It's the cartels. They are making money hand over fist by doing what? Smuggling drugs, smuggling people, abusing children. That's what's happening. And just on the drug piece, Charlie, I mean, one of the reasons I care a lot about this is that the drugs that are pouring
yes,
across
exactly right.
our southern border are in every single community of my state of Missouri and, unfortunately, every community across this country. We are awash in drugs in Missouri. And the reason is our border is not secure.
Yeah, and it seems to be as if there's this really sick connection, unfortunately, between the muscular class and people that work with their hands. They might get injured at work. They get prescribed opioids by their doctor, and then it unfortunately starts them on this path of addiction that then, of course, might get supplemented or augmented by the flow of fentanyl. A normal country would say to China that you have not just infected us with the Wuhan flu, but also you have allowed, you know, millions of pounds of this lethal fentanyl into America. The issues that actually impact our citizens seem to always kind of be put to the third rail. I don't know how you voted, but I would just love your thoughts on the CHIPS Act. What was your thoughts on that bill?
Oh, I voted no on that.
Okay,
and,
good.
And the reason is, yeah, I mean, that's a total giveaway. I mean, here the CHIPS thing is real simple. It's a whole bunch of money to corporate interests in America to keep doing what they're already doing, which is to sell us out to China. I mean, so here's the deal. We're going to give now under this pill, we're going to give a whole bunch of tax breaks, billions of dollars in tax breaks to mega corporations who are running operations in China, and they'll get to keep doing it. It's just a myth that this bill will bring back any jobs. It's not going to bring back jobs. It's going to subsidize
yes.
the worst multinational corporations. We should be doing just the opposite. By the way, Charlie, this is why tariffs are important. We need those tariffs.
Yes, we do.
We need tariffs to rebuild American industry for American workers. And just to your point about American workers, here's what I notice about DC in my short time here. If it is something, if it's an issue like fentanyl, like opioids, that affects working people in this country, DC doesn't really notice. You know, they just don't care that much. It's like, eh, you know, that's an issue for somebody else. If it's the working folks who are the backbone of this country, it gets passed over and again. But if it's lobbyists, you know, and the moneyed class and the multinational corporations, oh, that's a whole other deal. Then it's pressing. Then we have to subsidize them.
Yeah, and then super sense of urgency if all of a sudden the defense contractors think that they can get involved in a proxy war. Senator, really quick, your neighboring state of Kansas, they voted down a very poorly worded bill on the pro-life issue, bill, a referendum, I should say. Do you think going into the midterms, how should we talk about our pro-life ideas and values? There are some whispers from establishment circles. See, Kansas is going to prevent us from winning on the life issue. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. And the reason is the Democrats' positions are so extreme, Charlie, and so unpopular. Let's not forget, what the Democrats want to do is impose on the whole country abortion on demand for full 9 months up to and including the point of birth. They want to get rid of the partial birth abortion bans. This is supported by like nobody. It's less than 10% of the total population. It's a minuscule number of people. That's their agenda. That's what we need to be talking about. And we need to be clear when we go into states and when voters have the chance to vote. And I'm for that, by the way. I mean, this is why Roe getting overturned was so important.
Yes.
Voters now actually can take this into their own hands. And, you know, we've got to explain clearly what this is about. We've got to explain, listen, do you want babies dismembered in your state? Do you want partial birth abortion to be forced on you? Okay, if not, then you're going to need to change your laws or change your constitution. Of course, that varies state by state. In Missouri, we've got really strong pro-life laws. But I just think that we shouldn't run from this. We should be unabashedly pro-democracy, give this choice to the people, and pro-life.
And lean in on it. Senator Hawley from the great state of Missouri, we need more like him. Support him. He's courageous, and I think he's helping build a Republican Party that's actually prepared to win in the future. Senator Hawley, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.